Jesus, thank you so much that you are in this place tonight, that you are for us, that you are not against us. And I pray that we will live a kingdom culture. We not only honor you, but we honor all of those around us. So we pray that tonight will be all about you. It's all about your glory. And we commit it in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone said,
amen.
Cool. Why don't you take a seat, give some Bluetooth high fives. No real high fives. Real high fives are going to come back soon in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. And no more masks soon in Jesus' name. Especially when you have coffee in the morning and then it like stays in your mask and then it's like there for a whole day. It's not pleasant. That's just me? You guys have more than one mask? Oh, okay. Maybe I should do that. That's so good. Well, hey, we have had an incredible day in God's house. If you guys were here this morning, you would have heard our lead pastor preach a phenomenal message, and I want to encourage you to listen to it and let it bless you, because there are key lessons in that message that you guys and we all need to live out. And I think it's important that we hear from our lead pastor. Can we honor our lead pastors? Is that okay? I haven't done that in a while, but I want to honor our lead pastors because they're just incredible. And it's such a privilege that we get to serve under their leadership. And we are in week two of our Under Pressure series. And listen, I believe this is a God-sent series because we are facing pressures pretty much from every single angle that we might find ourselves in every single day of our life. And last week was an amazing message as well. But this week, we are looking at a particular pressure, which, let's be honest, pretty much when COVID started and lockdown started, this pressure just exploded. And it's the pressure of cancel culture. By a show of hands, who's heard of cancel culture? Right, cancel culture exploded last year. And I was thinking about it. Why did cancel culture explode last year? Well, there were a whole bunch of people with a whole bunch of time with lots of different social media applications where they were able to cancel whoever they wanted, whenever they wanted, without any consequences. Yeah. It was crazy. Last year, literally, it was like an Oprah Winfrey show, like, what's under your seat? You get canceled, you get canceled, you get canceled, you get canceled, you get canceled. It's crazy. I'm blown away by it. In the old days, it used to be the famous people, right? Like, if you think of people like, not that I'm naming and shaming, but if you look at examples, the guys like Tiger Woods, you know, he made some mistakes and, you know, the media just trashed him and threw his name under the bus, and it was just a messed up situation. It was the politicians, it was the celebrities, it was the sports stars. And I was speaking to Andre on Friday, and I didn't know, but there was a cricket player from England who's just broken through the scene, and he had an amazing debut. And I'm a cricket fan, and I love the fact that this player had a debut. But all of a sudden, when this guy has come to a place of success, someone went back 10 years and took a screenshot of something that he said, and now they're trying to cancel him via social media. Cancel culture is real. Yeah. But there's two cultures. There's a cancel culture and there's a kingdom culture. Yeah. As Christians, we have to choose a kingdom culture. We can't live in a cancel culture. There's a pastor, Stephen Chandler, who quoted a quote which I think is phenomenal. He said, as Christians, if we choose to live in a cancel culture, what we're doing is we canceling the power of Jesus in our life. Then he went on to say that if the church adopts the culture of cancel culture, the church loses its power in society. And I know that we are called to be the light of our community, that we are the hope of the community. But that's not going to happen if we adopt cancel culture. But now, random people are getting canceled. Listen, if you are a member of Tableview Neighbors, who's a member of Tableview Neighbors? If you want to go to bed at night and just make some popcorn and just scroll through what people say on Tableview Neighbors, you're going to be in for a good time. Literally, someone could walk their dog and then not pick up what the dog left behind, and then there's a photo of them and they're being canceled and that person's offended, and it's just the worst thing in the world. We're canceling family members in our life because we might have a bit of a disagreement with that family member, and then we're going to go, I want nothing to do with you. I never want to see you again. I never want to speak to you again. We're canceling friends because they might think differently to us, and all of a sudden we want nothing to do with them. We lose our love for them, our friendship with them. People are being canceled left, right, and center. I really do see it as the Oprah Winfrey show where everyone just gets canceled. Because we're living in a world where people find offense wherever they can. And here's the deal. If you're looking for offense, you're going to find it. If you're looking for something wrong in someone, you're going to find it. But that is the cancel culture. We are not called to live by a cancel culture. We're called to live by a kingdom culture. And the cool thing is, as an encouragement to us, is cancel culture never started in lockdown of 2020. Cancel culture has been around even before the time that Jesus walked on the earth. Cancel culture has been around for a very, very long time. And tonight, we're going to look at two stories in the New Testament where Jesus was involved. And we're going to compare them. But in the one story, there were a group of religious men and Pharisees who tried to cancel Jesus. And they tried to cancel a woman. And then there was another story in the Bible where Jesus was canceled. His power was canceled. Are we going to compare them? Are we going to see the difference in how Jesus reacted in that moment to how someone else reacted in that moment? Are we going to be encouraged by those lessons? And if you're taking notes, it's Mark 6, verse 1 to 6. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to go over the story. And this is where Jesus was in Mark 5, just performing the most incredible miracles. I need you to picture it in your head. Jesus was on a roll. He was literally at the peak of his miracle working. He was doing the most amazing miracles, the most amazing works. In fact, in Mark 5, right before Mark 6, Jesus, there was a dead girl who he brought back to life. And then right after he brought the dead girl back to life, he prayed for a woman who was sick and she received complete healing. It was just the most incredible miracles and wonders that Jesus was performing. And on the back end of that, he decided to go to his hometown. And he was stoked. He was going to see all the people he grew up with. It was just the best thing for him. He was like, hey, I can't wait to go and hang out. And then when Jesus got there, the very people who would have been his sports coaches, or they would have been his friends' parents, or they would have been his friends, they would have been the people who he grew up with, they showed dishonor to Jesus. They questioned whether Jesus really was who he said he was. In fact, it says in scripture that they picked up an offense. They were offended by Jesus. And because they were offended by Jesus, because they said some things about Jesus that weren't true, because their thoughts about Jesus were incorrect, because they perceived him and spoke about him incorrectly, what happened was, and it says in Mark 6, that Jesus couldn't perform the miracles that he had performed in Mark 5. It's almost as if the power of Jesus was canceled because of the way he was treated in his own hometown. His power was canceled because of the way people treated him, the way people acted towards him, and the way people spoke about Jesus. His power was canceled. Then in the next story, we see Jesus, who was chilling. He had been ministering, and he was approached by a group of religious men and Pharisees, and they had brought a woman to Jesus, and this woman had fallen into sin. It was she'd fallen into adultery. She had made some mistakes. But the reason they had done that was not only to cancel her, but they actually wanted to cancel Jesus too. They almost wanted to trap Jesus. But Jesus, being the wise man that he was, never fell for their traps. And he actually was very calm, and they actually got frustrated. They said, why aren't you talking? Why aren't you giving us a response? What do you think that we should do? What do you think we should do to this woman? Then Jesus started to speak, and the famous words, those without sin may cast the first stone. And when he said that, all of a sudden, one by one, these religious men and these Pharisees started to leave and walk away until it was just Jesus and the adulterous woman. And Jesus asked her, is anyone condemning you? And she said, no. Jesus said, neither am I. Sin no more and go on your way. They tried to cancel that woman, but Jesus never let it happen. We've got some contrasts that we're going to speak about tonight. The first point is that when the hometown of Jesus showed pride, Jesus was humble towards the woman. His hometown was prideful. You see, pride is a very dangerous lifestyle to live. Pride is dangerously destructive and extremely difficult to detect. What pride says is that I am greater than you. I am better than you. You are not worthy of my time. You are not worthy of the title that you say you have. The hometown of Jesus, they were so full of pride that they were blinded by seeing Jesus for who he really was. You see, that's the same for us. If we live a life where we cancel people, what we're saying is, I'm full of pride and I see myself better than you and you've messed up. So you know what? We're gonna let you know about it. We're gonna cancel you. We're gonna make sure that you can't move forward in life. We're never ever gonna let you forget it. But your pride is blinding you from the fact that you've messed up too. You've made mistakes too. Your pride is saying that you are worthy of being held accountable, but I'm not worthy of being held accountable. Your pride is blinding you. The hometown of Jesus is full of pride, and they missed out for seeing Jesus for who he was. They canceled his power. They weren't able to receive from him because they were full of pride. We can't be full of pride and live in a kingdom culture. And please, don't hear what I'm not saying. We do struggle with pride. We're humans. I'm not trying to say that we've got to be perfect. But when we're faced with these situations, we have to never forget that just as that person made a mistake, so we make mistakes too. Don't let your pride hide the fact that you've made mistakes too. We are not called to cancel people. We are called to love people. We are called to accept people. We are called to build people up. It's crazy because Jesus said, those without sin may pick up the stone. Jesus was the only person without sin. He could have. But Jesus was not a man full of pride. Jesus was a humble servant. And he served that lady. And he said, I'm not going to throw a stone at you. I'm not going to condemn you, but I'm going to love you and I'm going to forgive you. I am not going to cancel you, but you are worthy of so much more. Jesus showed humility while his town showed pride. God hates it when we are proud. He hates it. It says in Proverbs 16 verse 5, the Lord detests the proud. Surely they will be punished. Proverbs 8 verse 13, all who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. It says in Matthew 5 verse 7, and this is a lesson that we were taught in that moment. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Why are we so quick to cancel people for a speck in their eye, but we've got a massive plank in ours? We're so quick, but we need to live in the kingdom culture, not the cancel culture. Because a kingdom culture doesn't cancel, it builds people up. We don't hold things against people. Number two, Jesus honored the woman. The town dishonored Jesus. Now there's a lesson when it comes to dishonoring, because we heard it in that scripture that because they dishonored Jesus, they weren't able to see the power of God move through their town, to move in their life. It was almost like a tap that was closed because of the dishonor. Yeah. They missed out. The world needs a powerful church. The world needs powerful Christians, not only at church, but in our workplace, in our schools, in our whatever environment we're in. We need to be Christians who have the power of God flowing in us and through us. But if we're dishonoring people, people are going to miss out on the power of God. People are going to miss out on salvation because we carry the presence of the Holy Spirit. But if we are having a culture of dishonor, one, two. Am I holding it incorrectly? Sorry. No, sorry, Warren. Just as Jesus honored the woman, so we have to honor everyone we come across. Regardless of what they've done, regardless of who they are, regardless of where they've been, regardless of what their past is, we have to honor them. People say that honor is earned. It's not. Respect is earned. Honor is always given. Honor is always given. When we honor, there's a blessing. When we honor, there's a power. And we know what's incredible about that story? We spoke about the religious men and the Pharisees. And you know that they actually sinned to get that woman to fall into adultery? Did you know that? If you study it, the scholars say that one of the men in that group would have had to have performed the sexual act with that woman to get her to perform adultery. He was in that group accusing her of adultery. Then the other men conspired with that man to cause her to sin. So in fact, they sinned to get her to get to Jesus. But because Jesus honored her, there was a power at play in that moment. Jesus said, again, those who are without sin may cast the first stone. Scripture says, one by one, those men left. They didn't leave because they weren't getting what they wanted from Jesus. They left because the power of the Holy Spirit was at work in that moment. There was a conviction in their hearts. The sin that they had committed, the sins that they had committed, the Holy Spirit started to poke at. He started to poke at. There was a power at work in that moment. They never left because they didn't get what they wanted. They left because the Holy Spirit was working in their hearts. And they got to a point when they realized that they actually couldn't stand there anymore. Because they were just as guilty as she was. They were just as guilty as she was. And they realized that because Jesus honored in that moment. There was a power. The Holy Spirit was working in that moment. It says in John 16, verse 8 to 9, and this is Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment about sin, because people do not believe in me. There was a work in their heart because there was an honor coming from Jesus. When we don't honor, we lose God's power. But when we honor, the power of God flows in us and through us wherever we go. In a world where there's a cancel culture, we need to honor regardless of what people have done. We have to honor because Jesus honored us and continues to honor us. I want us to be a church that is powerful. I want us to be a church that's overflowing with the power of God because we honor people regardless of what they've done. We can't cancel people. We can't cancel people because then we should be canceled too. Number three, Jesus forgave her while the town held on to offense. Jesus forgave her while the town held on to offense. And just to clarify, we're speaking about forgiveness and we're speaking about not holding on to offense. I know there's some people in the room tonight and online where you've had people do some pretty serious things against you. And I know that that journey is hard and that journey is going to be tough. But I want to encourage you to go on that journey. One of the worst things we can say, oh, just forgive and forget. We're called to forgive, but not necessarily forget. Because if we forget and we allow the person to do the same thing again, we aren't being wise. Don't forget, just be wise. Don't let that happen again. But we're still called to forgive. just as Jesus forgave the woman. We called to forgive. Not only does forgiveness heal you, but it heals the people that you've forgiven. We have to freely give what has been given to us. Jesus forgave us, so we must forgive others. It says in Matthew 6, verses 14 to 15, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other as Christ forgave you. We need to forgive. We have to go on the journey of forgiveness. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard, but if it's from God, He is going to give you everything you need to forgive those who've wronged you. But although those people have wronged you, there's power in forgiveness. But there's no power in canceling. There's power in forgiveness, but there's no power in canceling. In fact, forgiveness builds, canceling destroys. Forgiveness builds, canceling destroys. We need to give what's been given to us. Just as Jesus forgave that woman of her sins, so we need to forgive those who've done wrong and sinned against us. Forgiveness is key. It's not always easy, but it's key. We have to honor those. So I missed the scripture, I'm so sorry. But it says in Romans 12 verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor another above yourselves. We call to honor each other, not to dishonor each other. I have to share the story, and I heard it from Craig Rochelle, but the picture is so powerful. There's a famous, if not the most famous, baseball player called Babe Ruth. Who's heard of Babe Ruth? Yeah. Quite a few hands went up. And he was just incredible. And he hit some pretty impressive home runs. And every single home run that he hit, he would sign the bat. And there were a collection of bats, but there was one that was missing. And there was a gentleman who held onto this bat, and it was under his bed. And he became sick. And there was a lady who looked after him. And she did such an amazing job that he decided that he was going to give this bat to her. And she just thought it was a normal baseball bat, right? And he said, oh, it's Babe Ruth. Didn't think anything of it. So she put it under her bed. And then after a few years, she decided that she wanted to open up a new restaurant, but she didn't have the finances. Then she remembered, hey, I've got this baseball bat under my bed. Maybe I should get it appraised. So she went to a sports memorabilia place and obviously, the guy behind the desk pretty much collapsed on the floor in excitement, saying, could this be? And then they got it confirmed, and it was the bat that was missing. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was auctioned off for just under $2 million for a piece of wood with a signature on it. It's pretty impressive. So what she did was she used the portion of the money that she got for the bat, and she used it to start her restaurant. And then the rest of the portion, which was the bigger portion, she donated it to a charity that Babe Ruth was fond of. Now you can imagine, the media went crazy, probably tried to cancel her for something, who knows. Why are you giving this money away? It's yours. She said, I have to honor the signature on the bat. And I want to honor him by giving to what he believed in. You see, you and I have the signature of Christ on our life. Just so does the other person who sinned against you. But just as you honor Jesus, you called to honor others as well. They've got the signature of Christ on their life. You are no different to them. We have to value them by the image that they were made in, by who wove them together in their mother's womb. We have to value people. We have to honor people. We can't cancel people. Yeah. If I can get the keys on stage, please. TT. TT's a legend, guys. Best of the best. There's just a few things that I want to encourage us with tonight, if that's okay. And I was looking at it and I just really reflected on what Jesus, on who Jesus was and how he acted in that moment where he just loved that adulterous woman. And the first thing I want to encourage us tonight is that we have to become servants for Christ. You and I have to become servants for Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be extremely difficult to be prideful when you are serving someone else. Because when you're serving someone else, you're making a decision to go, I'm going to put you above myself. I'm going to put you above myself. Jesus was the ultimate servant. He was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. He came straight down from heaven, but he said, I am not here to be served. I am here to serve. That's our Savior. He showed us the ultimate act of humility by serving us, by giving his life as a sacrifice on the cross. In fact, it blows my mind that Jesus served his disciples by washing their feet, knowing that one of the disciples was going to deny him and the other one was going to betray him. I don't know about you, but I would have been pretty offended if I was denied and betrayed. But Jesus knew that he was a servant and he was still going to serve them regardless because he valued them. He loved them, just like we have to love those. We got to be servants in God's house. We got to be servants in our workplace. We got to be servants in our homes and in our schools. The same way Jesus taught us to serve, we have to serve. Serving puts people above ourselves. It's going to be hard for us to be filled with pride. It's going to be hard for us to cancel people when we make a decision to serve people. It says in Luke 22, verse 26, but you are not like that. Instead, the greatest amongst you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. It says in Matthew 23, verse 11, the greatest among you will be your servant. We called to serve. So I want to encourage you, if you are not serving, or maybe you're struggling to serve, please join us for Growth Track. Growth Track is going to completely change your life. We're going to help you get you into a serving team where you're going to be able to express the gifts that God has given you, where you're going to be able to serve people, where you're going to be able to love people, but more importantly, you're going to be able to put people above yourselves. We are called to be servants just like Christ. Number two, we have to remind ourselves how to love. We have to remind ourselves how to love. If we forget to love people, if we forget how to love people, we're going to find it extremely easy to cancel that person. The famous wedding scripture, 1 Corinthians 13. Every wedding you've gone to, 9 times out of 10, you've heard the scripture. And it's true for weddings, but it's actually even more true for everyday life. I'm going to read it, if that's okay. It's 1 Corinthians 13 from 1 to 8. This is what it says. If I speak in tongues of men or angels, but I do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. Tongue twister. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. I want to encourage you. Love the way Jesus has called us to love. That's how he's called us to love. Maybe if you're struggling to love people, maybe you've adopted this cancel culture. I want to encourage you to read that scripture, reflect on it, and meditate on it every single day. When you wake up, remind yourself of how Christ has called us to love. Because if you love like that, you will never cancel anyone. Because that contradicts cancel culture. Remind yourself how to love every single day. Jesus was the greatest example of love by what he did on the cross. It was the ultimate act of humility, and it was the ultimate act of love. Remind yourself how to love every single day. And then more practically, I want to encourage us to follow the process. Jesus gave us a process. I want to read the process to you quickly. Matthew 18 verses 15 to 17. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. It's the first way. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to even listen to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. You see, the problem in today's society is that people offend people. People disagree with people, but they don't follow the process. They skip a few processes. That process that Jesus gave us is there to bring reconciliation, forgiveness, love. But people skip it. And then we wonder why people are canceling people. Because they refuse to speak to the person who's offended them. They refuse to speak about it. They refused to deal with it. And what happens is that's the devil's playing ground. And all of a sudden, what was so small becomes so big. And that's why people cancel people, because they don't follow the process. I want to encourage you, if someone has done wrong to you, follow the process that Jesus gave us. It's there to build his kingdom and build his church and to protect relationships in our lives. I listened to a TED talk about cancel culture, and it was this actress who acts in the secular world, and she was speaking about how cancel culture was destructive in her own life. Her and her father had a disagreement over something very, very small. And she said for 10 years, she canceled her father out of her life. Completely. Never spoke to him, never called him, never saw him for 10 years. And so one day she woke up and it dawned on her that she could no longer live a life of cancel culture, but that she needed to live a life of compassion culture. So she phoned her dad and they made up, and there was reconciliation, there was forgiveness, there was compassion, and there was love. And she said it was the best thing she ever did, because 3 years later, her father went to be with Jesus. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But don't wake up tomorrow regretting canceling the person in your life. So I think someone needs to hear that. That's the only reason I'm speaking about it. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be a work colleague. I don't know who it is. But is it really worth not being able to spend time with them? Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. God is bigger than their offense. God is bigger than their sin. He wants you to love them unconditionally. He wants you to forgive them so that the healing process can start. He doesn't want you to cancel that person anymore. He wants you to have a compassion culture. I don't know who needed to hear that, but I want to encourage you, phone that person tonight. Set up a coffee. forgive them, and find reconciliation in the power of Jesus. Can we close our eyes? There's some people sitting here tonight who struggles to forgive, who struggles to let go, who struggles to find reconciliation with people, who struggles to love. I believe you're struggling because you haven't let Jesus forgive you. We said earlier, we have to give freely what's been given to us. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've never let Jesus forgive you. You've never let Jesus into your life. You've never let Him love you. Maybe that's you. And you know you can't live this life where you find it so easy to cancel people and not to love them. I want to encourage you. Jesus wants to forgive you of your sins. Jesus wants to love you. Jesus wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants that. And all He's asking is for you to accept His forgiveness, to repent, to turn of your ways. And if that's you tonight, if you know you can't carry on anymore, you can't carry on living this life where it's destructive, where it hurts, where you can't forgive because you haven't been forgiven. On the count of three, no one's looking. I want to invite you to put your hand up, and we're going to pray a prayer where we're going to ask Jesus to forgive us. Where we're going to ask Jesus to take control of our life. Where we're going to ask Jesus to heal us. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to put your hand up. One, two, three. If that's you, we got a hand over there. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone else? You know, you need to ask Jesus to forgive you so that you can start to forgive others in your life. Is there anyone else? Church, can we pray together? Jesus, I thank you for what you did for me, for giving your life as a sacrifice on the cross for me. I declare I've fallen short, I've messed up, but from this day, I declare I'm living a life for you. I pray that you help me, that you guide me, that you equip me, that you fill me, that you give me everything I need to live a life that glorifies you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to pray for one more group of person. Father, I want to pray for anyone who has those people in their life who they've shut off completely, who they've canceled. Father, I pray that you will give us the courage, the strength, the grace, the energy, the wisdom, the anointing, the authority to speak to those people and find reconciliation in those relationships. I pray that because of that, your name will be glorified and it's going to bless the kingdom of heaven. I thank you that families are going to be restored, friendships are going to be restored, work relationships are going to be restored. There's going to be reconciliation in schools, wherever it might happen, Father, but give us the courage and the love that we need, that we may no longer cancel, but that we will build up and live a kingdom culture. Amen. Amen.
You know, that's why the scripture says we need to be slow to speak and quick to listen. So as soon as you want to say something, because hurt people hurt people. So you feel hurt, you want to react, slow down, remember what love is, follow the process. Remember what love is, follow the process. Love is patient, so be patient, follow the process. You know, it blows my mind that Jesus humbled Himself and forgave us. It's like the biggest person in the universe could take on this place that seems weak. I don't know if someone's phone's getting off here. Someone's alarm, it's wake up time. Matt, they fell asleep during your message. I'm just saying they put the wake up. Anyway, doesn't happen to me, bro. Anyway, just saying. Anyway. Anyway, Matt's sermon was a wake-up call. So, it's phenomenal. Jesus, the biggest person in the universe, was big enough to forgive us. You and I, so small compared to Jesus, feel that it's big when we hold an offense. It's like, I feel so small when I struggle to forgive. And I realize it's big people who forgive. It's small people who hold unforgiveness. It's big people who don't get offended. It's small people who get offended. It's big people who don't cancel. It's small people who cancel. We want to be bigger people. If we want to reach our destiny, we're going to become bigger. How? We're going to become more like Jesus. We're going to love more. We're going to serve more. And I love it. If you start serving, you'll struggle to be prideful. If you are prideful, why don't you start serving with no strings attached? Why don't you do Growth Track, discover your gifts, make a difference? But what an awesome day. Next week, Leanne is preaching in the morning, my wife, and then DT in the evening. The topic is the pressure of staying healthy mentally, so around mental health. Okay, and I encourage you not to miss it. Maybe you've struggled with anxiety, worry, stress. Maybe you've been sad. And you don't know what your next step is. This coming Sunday, the pressure of that is going to be the perfect Sunday. Invite your world. You know some people who need to switch on. They can't get in the building. Other people, get in the building. Book your seat. I want to encourage you to make sure you get your. And if you thought this message was awesome, you can still share it on Facebook so your world can see it, or share the link on YouTube. I thought the message was amazing. This year, remember to download the app. Keep taking your next step. Have an awesome Sunday. Goodbye to our online family as well. See you soon.